Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, who is excited to be in the house of the Lord? Come on, we're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible declares that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. So come on, let's give our King of Kings a shout. Come on, let's give him a shout. Amen, amen. I want to just invite you out of your seats, down to the altar. We're going to open up in a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we lift you up in this place. We magnify you. We place you as number one in your rightful place. Father, move. Holy Spirit, have your way today through our worship, Father God, through the word, through the phenomenal announcements of today's service, Father God. Have your way. Let us not leave the same way that we came in. Father, we come with an expectant heart. We are ready to receive. If that's you, come on, lift your hands, lift up your voice, and give a shout of amen.
One, two.
How many of you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength?
The joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger, greater, greater.
Our hearts long for. Let's worship. Let's worship and show Him how we feel. He loves us completely. It brings pleasure to His heart.
Overwhelmed by your love, what a beautiful scene. thank you that you're in this room. We thank you that you're moving and touching people, changing our lives. We need you so desperately. In this chaotic world, we need you, Holy Spirit, to bring sense to our own heart and our own lives. Father, there are people this morning that are struggling in their minds and their hearts. Father, we pray for them. Holy Spirit, that you'll come upon them and bring peace that doesn't even make sense. An individual here on your right side, it feels like your right side is heavy from the rib cage. I want to say it's your lungs, but I'm not sure. There's just it's almost like a heaviness on that whole side of your ribs. And God's going to touch you right now. Get ready. In the name of Jesus, I release healing right now. Father, whatever the cause of it is, I command it to go. Go now. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that this morning, no matter where we are in life, you care for us. Another individual having problems in your top jaw on your left-hand side, God is healing you. I'm not sure if it's your tooth, but if you put your hand, you'll start feeling that pain, that achiness will go away. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We love you so much, Jesus. We love you so much. We love you so much, Jesus. Don't you love that sweetness of God, quietness? You know, today, he just wants you to know how much he loves you. Some of you are going through some real serious struggles in your life. You know what's amazing? There are some spouses here. You're going through struggles in your life, in your mind, even with your spouse. The Lord said he understands what you're going through, and he's going to, if you'll just serve him, you'll find that order will come. And I'm not talking an unsaved spouse. I'm talking order will come into your marriage. You'll find it just start to click. Click, 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 click. Father, every need, every hurt, every wound, we thank you that you heal us. You are so faithful, God, and you are so powerful. We honor you this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We're not going to do meet and greet this morning, but if you'll make your way back to your chair and grab the person that sits in front of you and say, good morning, you look just marvelous today.
Just for once.
What are you talking about?
Hey guys, we still have a couple spots available for the Marriage Encounter April 12th to the 14th. If you have yet to sign up, please see us or go to the hub to sign up.
Hey, we're having our next water baptism February 25th. We'll be having it for both 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. services.
What are you doing?
We do
full submersion baptisms here. I don't understand why you do these things that just waste time. You're so weird. Why?
You can sign up online by going to histabernacle.com/baptism, or you can go right to the hub.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Y'all came in late from the ice. My goodness, wasn't it bad this morning? Was it still bad when you came in? Where we came from in Aaron, it was just an ice rink. But I thank God for safe travels. We prayed for you all as you were traveling in this morning that you be safe in the first service. Today we have some amazing announcements, and we want to start with the first one. We thank you, God. This is our 20th year anniversary at His Tabernacle Family Church. 20 years ago, we started at the Horseheads Holiday Inn with 5 people. It's so hard to believe. My wife, she's so cute. She's not here this morning. I'm going to explain why in just a moment. But she was 25 years old when we started that ministry. And we were just toying each other last night and saying, boy, honey, time goes by really quick. You look good for 65. I almost got killed, but we won't talk about that. I believe in resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection and life. But today we have another announcement for you, and we're getting ready. I'm not sure if someone can instruct me whether we've gone live or not. We wanted to welcome everybody this morning. We are making an announcement about part of the vision of His Tabernacle Family Church. You know one thing that the Bible says in the book of Habakkuk? The book of Habakkuk declares to write the vision. To write it and make it clear so that people who read it may be able to run with it. And I want to read the vision of His Tabernacle Family Church. If you're a guest this morning, I want you to know we're not lost. We're not confused. We know where God is taking us. We know what God's plan is for this house. I want to read this to you. His Tabernacle Family Church is a multi-site regional gathering place where thousands of people from every culture will experience God's love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Our focus is clear. Win people to Jesus Christ in the marketplace. Each child, youth, and adult will be empowered through the practical teaching from the Word of God to become future leaders in the church, the family, government, business, education, arts, and media. We have developed groups that will build a sense of family as well as reach out to our surrounding communities by utilizing ministry centers. We'll explain what they are. Our commitment to develop future leaders from within will be done through growing the educational departments of our Next Steps, Rock Solid Faith, and Remnant Bible Institute. And because our campus is growing, we're going to be building, erecting out in that beautiful green spot right out front. We're going to be building a sanctuary that seats 1,999. This building here will be exactly what it was designed to be from the very beginning, and that is a youth facility. But one of the parts in the vision is called a multi-site ministry. Now, we are multicultural. If you look on the walls, you see all these flags. These are flags that represent the countries of the people that are in this room, that are part of our body. Over 20 nations, and I believe there are 5 more that need to go up. Over 20 nations are part of His Tabernacle Family Church right here in the middle of the cornfield. Glory to God. But another part of the vision that was written, my goodness, part of the vision 20 years, because God gave it 20 years ago, was to be a multi-site church. My wife and I started a church 23 years ago in Ithaca. Through different events and things that happened, it didn't end up staying with us. But just recently, in fact, this morning, where Pastor Rhonda is and Pastor Chad, and also they're online live right now, we want to welcome the Ithaca location of His Tabernacle Family Church for the very first time. I'm so excited because this is what the vision has been for many years. Ithaca is part of it. Binghamton will be starting a campus in Binghamton, and I believe next year. But right now in Ithaca, they're watching us live stream. And right now we want to welcome you to be as part of our body, His Tabernacle Family Church, right here in Horseheads, New York. So our very first campus is up on 609 West Clinton Street in Ithaca, New York. And I'm very excited because this is a way that we're going to be reaching out, loving people, taking back Ithaca. Can I hear an amen? You know, at His Tabernacle, we do 3 things. What do? We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. Can you say that one more time? That's all we do. And part of the vision is making sure that we go into a community and let them know that God is not dead, but God is alive. The church isn't dead. The church is alive. Amen. And so this morning, if you'll give a mighty hand clap to our brand new campus in Ithaca, New York, and we welcome you. We thank you for being part of our family. We want you to know that you're very loved, and that there's a large congregation right down here in Horseheads, that you are part of us. We are one family now. And I'm just so excited. And Pastor Rhonda just has gotten done speaking, and Pastor Chad's going to be preaching there in just a few moments. And so we just want to say one more time, can we give them a big welcome? We love you. I'll be seeing you in a few weeks. And just know that you're part of the family called His Tabernacle Family Church, Ithaca. Have a great day. Pastor Chad preached down heaven and cast out hell. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's exciting for us as we're starting to see the vision unfold more. Isn't it exciting? Listen, over this year alone, we have watched God bring us to a national platform with TV. So Lifestream.TV, I believe it's called, will be going on there. Brother Rick has already submitted two TV shows. We'll be reaching 2.1 million people through that medium. Also, God has given us, this all happened in 1 month, to where now we have a church in Ithaca of His Tabernacle Family Church. Some of you don't know, but we also have three churches in Mexico. We have a church in Cancun, Mexico, a church in Merida, Mexico, and a church in Campeche, Mexico. So I want you to realize that the place called His Tabernacle Family Church, we might be located in a field in Horseheads, New York, but the miracle is that we are reaching far beyond the walls in this small town, and we are reaching our region and reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm very proud to be called, and my wife and I are proud to be called your pastors, and thank you for the privilege of serving with you in the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? You know, I used to carry, for the first year, I carried the speakers upstairs to the second story of the Horseheads Holiday Inn. Carried up the speakers, had to put them on. My sons were too small to help me. In fact, what was really cool was, at one point in time, I had to teach Chad how to be the drummer. And I taught Cody how to be the bass. And I taught Rhonda how to sing tenor. No, I'm just kidding. But Cody would play drums, and I would play, Chad would play drums, Cody would play bass, and I'd play guitar, and we did the best we could. But boy, I tell you, God bless us. In one year, we grew out of the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. And then blessed us, we went into the square. You know, right down here in Hanover Square, there was a building that was for rent. It was the old Brown's Pharmacy. And we went in and we talked to the gentleman, and God opened the opportunity. We went in and we were there literally 1 year and outgrew that. And then God did a phenomenal miracle where that place now is called Mustang Sally's. Well, we have a young man in the church who is going to be opening a true Texas barbecue in that place. You don't want to miss him when that opens. And he comes to this house, and he's, so you know he can't fail. And he's from Texas, so it's not fake Texas barbecue. It's the real McCoy. I can't wait to get my teeth into some ribs. We moved into that. That was an absolute miracle. Church was only 2.5 years old, and God gave us the opportunity to buy that building. We renovated the building. We were there 3 years, and we outgrew that building. In fact, there were cars stacked so deep in that parking lot, there was no way for another car to fit. We actually had to go across the street to the American Legion and use their parking lot. We then went to the school on Broad Street, and we were there exactly 3 years. And then, thank God, we were able to build this building. But what was amazing, many people don't know this if you weren't here, was we actually kind of got, they wanted us out of the school at a certain time, and the building wasn't done. It was like the beginning of August. And we went and we borrowed Brother Shambach. I don't know if you know Brother Shambach. He's passed on to be with the Lord. But Brother Shambach's tent that he used to preach miracles and signs and wonders under. And we put it over here on the side of the building. There was a big yellow tent that sat 800 people. And for 1.5 months, we were in that tent. Listen, if you didn't know what hell was, that tent was hell. In the middle of August, we had people like, one time with the cameraman, like Brother Shane is standing there. The cameraman was standing there on a podium, and all of a sudden we watch the camera and the man handling go like this. Just fell right over, passed out because of the heat exhaustion. We lost 100 people in 1 month. And I said, you know what? We didn't gain anybody by accident. God filled his house. We moved in this church the second week of September. And man, God just started taking off. There was no rugs on the floor. When I would speak up here, you would hear an echo at least 7 times of my voice. But man, this place, people were just hungering and thirsting after righteousness. People started getting saved and lives started getting changed. And then today, 10 years later, we've been in this building 10 years. 10 years later, just a few weeks ago, there were 770 people here on a Sunday morning and another 200 plus online. Plus, we brought in another 200 to 250 children to minister to them throughout the week. Not counting the 5,500 to 6,000 people that are watching television and watching us every single Sunday morning. God has been so faithful. Thank you so much for being part of the ride. And you know what? I've got great news. We've only just begun. You know, it's 20 years and it feels like we just started. And that's the exciting part, is recognizing that the vision, just this year, God has opened up 2 things and new, fresh in the vision that we were waiting for so long. And now they're already there. It's time for harvest. Can I hear an amen? We've been planting seeds as a body for so long in this place. I remember when we first opened the building, we would go up to the mall and we'd have a kiosk and we'd hand out cassette tapes, 100 cassette tapes in a night, on a Friday night at the Arnott Mall. We just start handing them out and letting people know that Jesus loves them. I call that harvest in the name of Jesus. Amen. I declare that even people that grab the hold of those cassette tapes will just have an awakening by the Holy Spirit, and that God will stir their heart. You know, I'm believing God, and we are believing God for 1,000 souls in this building by Christmas. Do you know how easy that is? Do you realize if everybody in this room just led one person to Jesus this year, we'd already be there? Just one. That doesn't include first service. Can you imagine if just 10% of those that watched by television this morning would come to the house of God? That add 550 to 600 people in 1 week. I'm telling you, get ready. Jesus loves people so much. Jesus loves you. And we're going to see God show himself so powerful in this region that everyone's going to have to take a step back and go, he is real, isn't he? And that's what I love about my Jesus. He's not dead. He's alive. I said, God's not dead. He's alive. Oh, I can't hear you. God's not dead. He's alive. That's right. He's alive. This morning, as we're getting ready to receive the offering, I just want to remind you of a scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then you will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. I want you to know that God doesn't want you poor. God wants you blessed. It is true. You know, the church world has taught for so long, poverty, 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 just make it by. Some actually teach that you're more spiritual if you have little. And I want you to know that that's not true at all. That God wants you to have more than enough. God is on your side. God wants to increase you. It's time for us to say, God, I'm going to believe your word. I want to see what God's going to do in my life. How about you? I said, I want to see what God's going to do financially in my life. How about you? Amen. And when you and I step into this life of obedience, what is so is when we step into a life of obedience, we actually step into a place where God is positioned to take care of us. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing you cannot even contain. I'm working for you for good and not. I'm not going to walk by that speaker anymore. I'm going to pour out my spirit in your life. You see, when you and I partner with God in our finances, actually they're his. Can I hear an amen? Because we have never been called to own anything. We've only been called to steward things. You see, you know you're in trouble when you're dealing with your own money and you start getting worried and frustrated. You know what that means? You've taken ownership of something you should only have stewardship of. And when you tithe, when you seed, the owner, Adonai, it was one of his names, Adonai, his responsibility is to take care of you. So I challenge you to be a tither today. I know you'll be blessed. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, test me in this thing and I'll prove myself to you. It's the only place in the scripture that God says, I'll prove it to you. I love it. And this day, if you've never tithed before, I challenge you to be a tither. You know, some of you dedicated to tithe for 1 year. I challenge you. Don't come off that. No matter what the devil throws your way, you'll always find that God will come up and fix it from behind. even the devil attacks. Amen? Stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So this morning, we're gonna receive the offering. And I just want to encourage you all, shout, I'm a tither. Some of you prophesying to yourself, shout it out loud, I'm a tither. I challenge you to step out in faith and you'll see God's blessing in your life. Stand to your feet. If you're a guest this morning, we actually have you bring your gifts to the altar. There are many people that are now giving online. And what we'd like you to do is bring your phone up and tap the offering plate. That walk of faith can release the anointing in your life to break through in the finances of your heart. So are you ready? Let's make our supernatural proclamation found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Shout, I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're watching by live stream, I want you to see right on the screen, you have the opportunity to give right there by text. Or you can jump and hit the give button. You know, many people receive, but it's not just enough to receive. You got to be a giver. This isn't Christian welfare. This is where you are obedient to the Lord in your tithe and your offering. So if this is your home church, you should be tithing every single week right there online. And we'd love to have you in the house. But if you want a seed, you can also seed. We're believing God for a $1 million check to come from those that are watching on TV and or live stream. If God's pricked your heart, make sure that you give. We want to pay this place off so we can build the next one and house more souls for Jesus. I love you. Continue to watch. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Is everybody having a great day? I hear this week's going to be 50 plus degrees. Woo! God is faithful. We want to welcome you out to His Tabernacle Family Church. If you're a guest in the house, we just want to say thank you so much for being with us, that you're important to us, and that we are not just a church you come to, but we want you to participate with. And we know that you'll be blessed as you grow in relationship with the people around you. They're awesome people. Can you turn around to somebody and say, you're an awesome person? You might have to say that by faith if it's your spouse because you had a fight on the way to church this morning. But this is the year of... I said, this is the year of... divine connections. No, I didn't say networking. I didn't say marketing. I said divine, supernatural, Holy Ghost sent. God prepared before you were ever born connections that God will raise you to a place of destiny that you have never been before. You see, that is the awesome part about who God is. God has already got your life all set. Those that walk in the principles of God, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The Bible also declares that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. What is so cool about being a believer is that you and I can walk in the Spirit, and we will see God unfold our life before us. We'll see those divine connections come to us. In fact, that's the best part. You know, you want to make sure you're on the right connection. Can I hear an amen? Can you imagine if you were trying to go from Detroit home and you accidentally got on the plane to Toronto? That would not be fun. That's where, man, I tell you, you want to make sure you have the right connections. And the correct connections are the ones that God is going to send your way. So many of us, we've got to start paying attention to the connections that are around us. Because God could bring us a connection, and we might not even observe what it is. In fact, we all do that, don't we? If you've been to an airport or even a bus station, the one thing you do is when they tell you what terminal you're going out of, you go and you look on the screen to make sure it says the name of the town you're supposed to be going to. Because you don't want to get on the wrong bus. You don't want to get on the wrong plane. You don't want to go to the wrong place. And it's the same thing in the spirit. God has divine connections for you that when we pay attention, he'll reveal them to us and he'll say, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you start walking in divine connections, you start seeing how your life comes into order. And when your life comes into order, you start seeing the blessings of God chase you down and trip you up. You start seeing that God's blessing is not something strange, but it's a normal process in your life. I don't know about you. I like God's favor. Can I hear an amen? I like God's blessing. Can I hear an amen? I enjoy being blessed. I don't want to be cursed. And you see, the fact is that God has never planned to curse us. He's only planned to bless us. Having those people in our lives is so important. That is the divine connections. But the greatest connection is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 is our verse for the year. If you don't have that marked down in your Bible, you should mark that down. Mark 16, 20. And it says that God worked with them. Who worked with them? God worked with them. You see, God's plan is to work with you. Many times we think about how God wants to work with somebody else, how God wants to work with Pastor, how God wants to work with Pastor Banfield, how God wants to work with Kayla, how God wants to work with somebody in the back. You know, they're better at that stuff than I am. But I want you to hear me this morning. God wants to work with you. Turn to someone and say, God wants to work with you. Come on, tell somebody else, God's got a plan for you. Tell somebody else, God wants to cooperate with you. That's right. He wants a corporate union between you and him. It is exciting to realize that you're not here just surviving, but you're here to thrive in the presence and the power of God, that you're here to make those divine connections, and that the very reason for your breath of being on this planet can be absolutely succumbed, and then you and I can live in the peace and the joy of the Lord. You see, the greatest place you and I can ever be is the will of God. The will of God will always give you peace. The will of God will always give you joy, even in the midst of the fire, even in the midst of the trouble. You'll find that when you're in God's will, there's a peace that passes all understanding. And this is the awesome part about who we are. When we make those divine connections, when God puts us with somebody to grow us, to mature us, to bring us to another level, man, those are the people you want to hang on to and sit next to on that airplane. You want to grow and you want to mature with who they are in you. There's a verse also I want to talk about, because this month we've been talking about how the church is our divine connection. Now, I want to remind you, there is an onslaught, diabolical onslaught against the church. Now, what do I mean by that? The church was not created by man. It was created by God. And what's happened is, because there have been so many foolish things done in the church world, can I hear an amen or oh my? Because there are some really dumb preachers on TV, can I hear an amen or oh my? They do dumb things, they say dumb things, and it turns people off. But we also have within the church a loss for the passion of the house of God. The Bible says that Jesus had a zeal for the house of the Lord. We also know that Jesus went to church every week. It was his custom in the book of Luke chapter 4 to go to church. It was normal for Christ to be in the house of God. It was a normal process because Christ recognized that divine connections came through the house of the Lord. What Jesus didn't realize even at that moment, or maybe he did, I'm not sure, so I can't say, was that he would be the head of the church, and that Christ would be the one that would be the launching of the kingdom of God on this planet called the church. You see, one thing I have found is this, is that the church, again, with this onslaught, people have stopped being faithful to the house of God. The average American now goes to church only once every 3 weeks. The average church only sees one soul or less than one soul saved a year. The church is in a position today where we have fallen victim to the mindset of the diabolical world, and we have bought something that we have got to regurgitate and get out of our life, and that is that the church is not important. I'm here to tell you today that the divine connection you need for your business, the divine connection you need for your family, the divine connection you need for your walk with God, the divine connection you need for your miracle is sitting in this room today, and Jesus Christ is here, but he has also sent you and I, the sons and daughters that have been given gifts and talents and anointings to do the will and the work of heaven. The very thing that you need is in the house of God. You see, you and I didn't start this thing. Jesus did. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, Christ told his disciples, and he trained them, spent 3 years with them, invested in them, sowed in them. He said, I want you to go and tarry in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father. You see, because John the Baptist said, listen, there's coming one whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see, God had a design. What I love about our Father is that nothing surprises him. Aren't you glad that nothing surprises your God? Aren't you glad that he doesn't go, whoops? Nothing worse than hearing, listen, I one time I was having an operation. Oh, yeah, I can't, no, yep, sure, no, okay. I was getting a vasectomy, and the nurse said, whoops. Let me tell you, that's a little unnerving. And the doctor yelled at her, which I was very glad about, but I can't say that I still wasn't nervous. God never says whoops. He doesn't say, oh, boy, I missed that one. He doesn't say, oh, I forgot about how that works. No, God knows everything. And this is the great part about serving him, is that there are no surprises with heaven. And God said, if you go and tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father, something's going to happen. They tarried for 10 days, 120 people in the upper room. And all of a sudden, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Spirit of God filled that room. There was a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. Cloven tongues of fire rested upon each one of their heads. And all of a sudden, they began to speak with other tongues. They got endued from power on high. The Spirit of God came and dwelled within them and filled them full and overflowing to where they started to speak with other tongues. And then they spilled out into the city streets. You see, at that point in time, there were about 2.5 million people in Jerusalem. They came for the Feast of Pentecost. But something happened that day. The Bible says, Jesus declared, upon this rock, I will build my kingdom. He was talking about Peter standing up to preach the gospel. And man, Peter stood up that day. And man, not many weeks before, he had denied Christ 3 times. But when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, something changed in his life. And he stood up that day and he started to preach the gospel. He started to declare Christ. He started to declare that there is no name under heaven which while you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. And the anointing started to surge. Man, it shocked these guys. They heard the disciples speaking in tongues, even in their own native language, the bringing the glories of God from heaven to earth. That day, something happened that had never happened before. It was called the launch date. You see, you and I are celebrating February of 1998. Dear God, that's a long time ago. The second Sunday of February 1998, we had a launch date too. And it was the day that God said, I want you to launch His Tabernacle Family Church at the place called Horseheads Holiday Inn. And I'm going to fill that place. Man, I remember there was a prophetic word the night before. We were having a little prayer meeting in my basement. And a woman I hadn't heard from in about a year called me on the phone that night. She said, hi, Pastor Mike, how are you? I said, good, Debbie, how are you? She said, you know what? I just got to tell you what the Holy Ghost has been talking to me about. I said, what is it? She says, the Spirit of God says, this is your time and this is your season. Hang on. It's going to grow quick. She didn't even know we were starting a church, but all of a sudden, I want you to recognize that God by His Spirit, within 1 year, had that place full. You see, God has a plan. When we understand His plan, the divine connections He puts in our lives, then we cannot fail. But when we miss our connections, we have to sit and wait for the next flight. And as believers, we've got to pay attention. This thing called the church is so powerful because this is God's design. He is the mighty architect. God designed the church. Man did not design the church. This is what I love about the book of Acts. The book of Acts is how God wants his church to look. Man, there is no, it scares me. There are a lot of churches in today's world. What they do is this, is they have their own design, what they want for church. They want to be relative to the world. I'm not here to be relative to the world. I'm here to proclaim a gospel to the world, the gospel of freedom, that without Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved, that Christ still heals physical bodies. Jesus is stronger than cancer. Jesus is stronger than multiple sclerosis. Jesus is stronger than any disease. Jesus is stronger than the common cold. Can I hear an amen, that Jesus still delivers, that devils are still afraid of the name of Jesus and cower when the body of Christ walk into position, and that soon and coming soon, Jesus is going to crack that eastern sky. The trumpet of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you. I'm excited about the church. I'm excited about the gospel. I'm excited about the truth, for the truth shall make you free, and God's plan was the church. We are his hands, we are his feet. This is why the onslaught is so powerful. This is why the demonic works so powerfully to try to disconnect, to bring a short circuit for you in the life of the kingdom of God called the church. We talked about it last week, and if you missed that message, you need to go back online, histabernacle.com, and you need to go to the archives and watch last week's message about being connected, how each thread is so important. I took a shirt, and I cut the shirt. When we look at the shirt, it's what covers us. If I took this shirt right now that's covering my body, it's not only keeping me protected, but it's also keeping you protected. Glory to Jesus. But if I cut that shirt, you would see that there are single strands in this shirt. You see, the devil wants you to be a single strand. The example I gave last week is if I took that single strand, went butt naked, and put that strand on my shoulder and said, now I'm dressed, the truth is that I'm naked. If I walked into a restaurant, you'd hear, woo, and then you'd hear people screaming, oh, Jesus, help us all. Because that one thread does not cover. You see, the body of Christ, the church, the kingdom of God, is God's plan to cover you and I so that we can walk connected in the kingdom and do great things for Jesus, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to bring them to unity and to bring them to maturity. You and I are not by accident. The church was not man's conception or perception. It is God who, the great architect, designed the church, and the book of Acts spells out how he wants his church run. There is nobody more audacious, over the top, than to say, I have a different plan for the church. I want to do it my way. It is the scariest thing watching churches. You know, we call them seeker-sensitive churches now. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We call them the grace churches, where you can live any way you want and everything will be okay. They're the churches that sit back and say that God no longer does the supernatural. They're called cessationalist churches. But I don't know about you. I'd rather look at what the great architect had planned. I want to look at what my God designed. I want to look at what he said. Ah, this is my church. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, Jesus Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. I've got news for you today that man does not have the right to design church any way they want to. That we have a responsibility to stay to the blueprints that the great architect, the master engineer, has designed his church to be. For it's not our church, it's his church. It's not our tabernacle, it's... Man, we didn't name that church on accident, because I don't want it to be my tabernacle. I don't want it to be my kingdom. Ah, his kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the will of God on earth as it is in heaven is that heaven's will, heaven's purposes will manifest through the church, the body of Christ. Turn to somebody and say, you are so important to the mind of God. Tell somebody else, you are so important to the plan of God. You see, the divine outline is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You see, after Peter got done preaching, something happened that day that had never happened before. 3,000 men, he gave an altar call. 3,000 men gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not include their women and children. They figure up to 15,000 people got saved the very first day the church was launched. That's why it always makes me chuckle when people like smaller churches all the time. They don't want, as one man said to me, he says, well, you know, I don't like big churches. He says, I'm just going to go to a smaller church, pastor. I hope you don't mind. And I said, I do mind. What do you mean you mind? I offended him. I tried to offend him. What do you mean you don't mind? I said, anybody who wants to always be in a small church is absolutely declaring that they don't want God's will to be done. Because if you're in a small church, we do not despise small beginnings. Can I hear an amen? But that's the beginning. But if people are getting saved, people are getting healed, people are being delivered, the church can't remain small. Can I hear an amen? The church in Ithaca is running about 31 people. I thank God for 31 people, but I declare by Christmas there'll be 100 souls packed in that building with their hands lifted high as we start momentum to take back Ithaca. You see, I don't know about you, but small is not always good. And in the mind of God, God doesn't think small. God will address small, God will help small, God will build small, but God has never been small. Can I hear an amen? You see, this divine architect, he planned it like this. This is what he said, Acts 2:42. The Bible school students, when they take my class called the Book of Acts, this is the verse that they have to do one of their final projects on. Why is that? Because this is the blueprint to how God wants his church to grow. The Bible says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. The divine blueprint of heaven, the divine outline of heaven in the book of Acts is very clear. You know what I love so much about this? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God never has ever done subtraction or division. God is into addition and multiplication. That's why even in your finances, when you start seeing subtraction happen, you need to take an aggressive posture if you're a tither and a seeder. You need to say, hey, devil, I want you to recognize real quick, you have no place in my money because this is not mine, this is God's, and I'm a tither and a seeder. I rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name. I command addition and I command multiplication to come into my checkbook for the glory of God. Now, you might say you don't believe in that. Go ahead. I don't care if you believe in it. I believe in it and do it. I live the life and I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The principles of God always work. Can I hear an amen? Amen. This house, we believe that it's God whose house this is, not ours. And we have a responsibility to make sure that we follow the blueprint of heaven. And the first one was that they remain steadfast. Everybody shout steadfast. Steadfast. Shout consistency. Shout it out loud. Consistency is everything. They remain steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. I want you to know in this house that we don't take this scripture and just chuck it away. That this is part of the blueprint, the outline of heaven to build his church. This is how his church grows. That the people of God are not ignorant concerning what they believe. You see, I know that in this place, we have the thing called next steps. Step one is rock solid faith. We believe so much in this process, the word of God, that we make we make rock solid faith available at three different times. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., I teach it. Every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. for those who work nights, Pastor Dan teaches it. And every Thursday night at 6 p.m., Pastor Palco preaches it. We do that for a reason, because ignorance is not bliss. Can I hear an amen? The devil wants you to be ignorant of what you're supposed to believe. He wants you not to know the doctrines of the Bible, because if you don't know them, you can't stand in faith. And if you can't stand in faith, you can only stand in hope. And God is not moved by your hope, for the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but you got to believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We've got to know the word of God. Many of us have stepped back from the word. We don't know the word. The Jehovah's Witness will come to your house and they might even convert you if you're not careful. And you got to get into the word of God and know the word of God. This is the plan of God. And in this house, we take it serious. The apostles' doctrine. We make sure that you know what you believe. We're right now in Hebrews chapter 6, dealing with the elementary principles of the gospel of Christ. Man, if you don't know how many resurrections there are, you need to go back to elementary school. If you don't know how many judgments there are, you need to go back to elementary school. If you don't understand how the anointing is released through the laying on of hands, you need to go back to elementary school. You need to go back to step one. You need to go back to rock solid faith. You need to get into the word to know what you believe. Why? Because if the devil can get you to a place where you don't know what you know, then guess what happens? Then when he starts putting on the heat, you only go to what you know, which is always the world. You've got to know the word. Shout amen.
Amen.
We also believe in prayer. That's another one of the components. This house believes in prayer. We don't talk about it. We do it. Every Monday through Thursday from 6:15 to 6:29 a.m., you can make a phone call and go live on while somebody's praying. Man, they're ushering in the day with a prayer of faith. They're ushering in the day with a prayer of battle. They're ushering in the day with a day of declaration, for victory is ours and we shall not be lost. Man, last week I was praying for sick folk. I'm cursing the devils that are causing sickness in people's bodies. Man, you got to be on that prayer. Why? Because God is moved by prayer. Jesus called his house the house of prayer. We've got to pray. That's how heaven has been designed to move, is through the power of prayer. We also believe in fellowship, and this is what I want to talk about right now. What I love about the Holy Spirit is, because it's God's church, God speaks all over the nation and sometimes all over the world the same message. Has anybody ever heard Joyce Meyer steal my stuff? Man, I got to chat with her. One week I preached a message and three people come up and said, I heard T.D. Jakes preach that same message. Well, I said, I preached it first. What is amazing is that God is speaking the same things all over the place. Because it's not our church, it's... And because it's his church, he has a plan. He's the architect. He has the way that his church should grow. Can I hear an amen? And so many of you know, I went out to Idaho to ride bicycle and to torture my body. And when I got out to Idaho, my pastor friend out there, he pastors a church of 3,500 people. And he said, man, we're just getting ready to launch what we call groups. I said, that's amazing. We were getting ready. We've been working on that for 6 months. I said, you know what we're naming it? Groups. We have some friends that are down in Florida where Corinne is going to church. And it's a church of, again, 3,000 to 5,000 people. And you know what they're doing? You know what they're launching? The pastor stood up on the beginning of the year and he says, we're going to be launching. God is saying the same thing all over the place. Why? Because the master architect who put forth the blueprint and stamped it with the blood of his son called Jesus, that blood shed for you and I to be saved. And God said, Christ, my son, is the head of the church. And this is how I want it to run. I want you to be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. I want you to have fellowship. And I want you to pray. And I want you to break bread together. And if you do these things, I will add to the church daily. Nah, it doesn't mean that we got to run out and start grabbing people and dragging them in by the hair of their chinny chin chin or by their toenails, but that God, by his spirit, with the seeds that we've already planted, will start calling in a harvest. You see, it's time for harvest. The devil does not mind if we seed as long as we never harvest. We've got to not only be seeders, we've got to be harvesters. And it's time this year to harvest like we've never harvested before. Can I hear an amen? You see, the Bible declares this in Acts 2, 46 and 47. So they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple. Now, for those who struggle with going to church, I do want to remind you this very quickly, and only because for your benefit. Everybody shout, this is your benefit. Talk to somebody, say, this is for your benefit. Remember, anything in the Word of God is for your benefit. Amen. God doesn't have to deal with us. He chose to deal with us. How many of you know that sometimes he should not want to deal with us? How many of you got an issue? How many of you know the person next to you has at least three more than you? No, just don't raise your hand. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple. This is why, again, the onslaught of the enemy has been so powerful. If the enemy can get you to where you do not go to church consistently, I want you to recognize that you're going to struggle with your walk with God. I can't even count the amount of people that have come into this door, come into these doors, walked down to these altars, confessed Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and did not continue. It's not just how you start, baby. You got to finish. And God has a plan for your finish line. I love what Paul said, not that I've apprehended, but man, I'm come to the end of the goal. I'm here. I'm going to cross the finish line. I love what he also said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on towards the mark of the high call of Jesus Christ. It's time to recognize that God's plan is his church. Amen. This is a divine connection for you. Man, it's time to stop being a visitor and it's time to start being connected. So many of us are, we got folks that have been coming here a decade. I love you, but you're not connected. You're still just a visitor. You pop in whenever you want. You realize it like we saw with Marge last week with the example. Your life seems to be in order in many areas, but that puzzle is never completed. Why? Because you have chosen not to connect with the kingdom of God. Amen. Get that kid. He'd be a preacher someday. Jesus went to the church daily. We know that. The Bible says in the last days, don't forsake the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. If you don't know where we live right now, I went over a little bit last week. Man, I tell you something, it only takes one button right now from North Korea. One button. We're in a position right now in America that we have not been in many, many, many decades. They can reach any city in America right now with a nuclear warhead. What is amazing is this, is that in the end time prophecies, you have the armies of the north, you have the armies of the south, and you have the armies of the east, but there are no armies of the west. Man, there's a time for the church to wake up because Jesus is coming soon. There's no prophecies left to be fulfilled, and it's time for the church to stop being weak, and it's time for us to be strong. The architect did not design his house to be weak, to be blown around by every wind and every trial and every tribulation. He's called us to be strong, to stand firm in the midst of the trial and in the situation when the fire comes, that when everything is done, the dust clears, baby, the house of God is still standing. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. This last one is one that has something's happened in America. You know, we changed with technology and we changed with moving forward. My grandmother died at 100 years old. She was born in, I believe it was 1896 or 98. And I remember sitting with my grandma Stewart. She was a believer. I remember sitting with Grandma Stewart, and I said, Grandma Stewart, why don't you write a book? You've seen it all. Listen, when she had to go to the doctor as a child, she lived in Vermont, in Rutland, Vermont. They would have to put her on a buckboard drawn by horses and drive a day on a buckboard to get to the closest doctor. She saw the first car. She saw the first Harley Davidson. Hallelujah. She saw wars and listened to the progression of wars. She saw man land on the moon. She saw it all. But what was also seen, and we can see it in the church world today, there's a disconnect from the body of Christ. In most churches, and let's just be honest, it's not anything to do with size. Most people don't know anybody. It used to be that you knew your neighbors and that you'd help your neighbors. And now it's really just, it's a farce. This just doesn't happen. It's a rarity. We've so disconnected from our community, and now community is no longer connected. But what that's done in the church is we've allowed that to enter the church, where community is not something that's normal. We're all segregated. We live our own lives. Don't bother me. I went to church this morning. I'm going home real quickly. Listen, no one's contacted me. I don't really care because simply, you know, I've got a life and they've got a life and I'll show up when I show up. Listen, that's the disconnect. This is what has gone against the architectural drawings of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's called us to be family. He's called us to be connected. He's called us to love each other. It didn't always call us to like each other. You do know that, right? You got to love everybody, but you don't got to like everybody. Someone said, well, I can't come to that church, man. Those people are giving me so much trouble. Well, you don't got to like them, but you do got to love them. Or you can't go to heaven. Because if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. That was free. I'm excited about what this is, this new thing called groups. In fact, I'm going to have, if I could have the ushers and the staff, we're going to ask you to have one per family. We're going to give everybody a magazine. We want you to have these in your hands. It's all about what we're going to do with the groups. It is awesome. It has the vision statement in it and where we're going, what we're doing, and how you can get connected. You see, the power of groups is the power of the book of Acts. The Bible said very clearly, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with other people. And the Lord added, now watch this, at the top one more time, not only did they go to church, but they broke bread from house to house. When was the last time you had somebody from the church at your house? When was the last time you took somebody out for supper or lunch? And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, it was really normal for us to always have people around us from the church. But this disconnect has happened just violently over the last 25 to 30 years. It's been a violent takeover from the demonic realm to bring the church into a place of disconnection where we're no longer associated with each other. We don't eat together. We don't fellowship with each other. We just kind of survive together under a roof on a Sunday morning. But I want you to recognize that's not the plan of God. God wants you to be connected with the divine connections that are in this room that will help you fulfill God's purpose for your life. There are people that you need in this room. There are people that need you in this room. What I love about these groups, and you're going to be able to see them near one of the last pages, it lists all the groups that we're starting with. These are the groups we're starting with. And you can email them, or they'll maybe even come up and ask you, or you can go to the hub, make a connection. But watch, this is what I want you to see. Many people say this, and let's just be real. Can we be real? Can we be real? Here we go. Well, how does this benefit me, Pastor? That's really where the bottom line is. Pastor, what is this going to do for me? This is another night out in my life. Every other week, I don't understand. You know, you're asking us to join a group. Listen, I want to tell you that this is the plan of God. And if you want more blessing in your life, you want more favor in your life, then doing the plan of God always activates heaven in your life. And the great part about doing this is you're going to get benefits that you would never have had. Listen, some of you got friends from your past. They're nice people, but man, you spend so much time with them, they draw you more into sin than you draw them into salvation. You need some godly friends, some faith friends, people that will speak into your life when you're struggling, people that will lift you up when you're getting ready to fall, people that will bless you. Man, you're struggling in some area, and all of a sudden they whip out a $20 bill, and they bless you when you need it at the very moment that you needed it at God's timing. Listen, the awesome part about being connected is that you're no longer running around by yourself. My wife, when she went to Africa, I realized how intricately entwined our lives are. Now, I love sleeping with my wife, and I don't mean in the sexual manner. I'm talking like I love sharing a bed. Man, it's tough when you sleep with somebody for 30 years, 28 years, and now you're sleeping alone. Sometimes it's nice, but boy, I tell you, I like snuggling. You know, I like it when we're sleeping, and I like rolling over and slapping her and maybe hitting her a little bit. And I love you, and not the bad way. Don't think nasty. But here's the issue, is that when she went to South Africa, she went for 2 weeks. I realized nobody made my breakfast. Now, if you're on Facebook at all, you realize I love my breakfast. And my wife makes really good breakfasts. I'm talking like, That's my meal of the day. I mean, that's my favorite meal. And man, she makes it with steak and eggs and cheese. It's just so good. I just sit there and savor my breakfast while I'm having my grape juice and my cup of coffee by the fireplace. Glory to God. It's just a great moment in my life. And I enjoy it so deeply. But for those 2 weeks, nobody made my breakfast. Then I realized on Sundays, she makes meals from our family. We have family breakfast on Fridays and family lunch on Sundays. I realized that she's making lunch usually for at least 15 to 20 people that, you know what? She's not here to do it. Now I've got to do it. Oh my goodness. I want you to recognize something. I made spaghetti. Easy. Man, she makes great meals, and she puts it all. She makes it look so easy, man. And on Friday morning breakfast, she's got waffles, and she's got fried chicken. I don't understand that fried chicken and waffles thing. It must be down south thing. I don't understand that. But she'll make that. She's got all of that, and she's got 3 pounds of bacon cooking at the same time, and she's got the toaster just falling all over the place, and man, she's got breakfast just piled up, so when the kids come at 9 a.m., man, it looks good, it smells good, it tastes good. And when she wasn't there. You know, it's amazing. Some of you don't realize the benefits that God has for you because you've never allowed anybody else to be there. And the benefits, man, when all of a sudden you're struggling and they look at you and say, let me pray with you. And they're not just praying words, man. They're praying the power of heaven into your life. And all of a sudden things start to shift in your life. All of a sudden you realize a three chord is not easily broken. That's you. That's whoever the divine connection is in your life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you recognize that, you're not all by yourself. Man, when the lions start to come against the antelope, when the lions come against the, oh, they don't come against, when the, what do they call it? Hold on. Looking at, I can see it. Hold on. When the polar bear are coming against the muskox. You ever studied muskox? They're an ugly beast. They're these big, like, bulls, and they got the horns. But the one thing they do is when danger comes, they back into each other and they put the babies in the middle. They protect. Listen, some of you don't realize you've stayed disconnected from the kingdom of God for so long. You've stayed disconnected from people for so long. You don't realize what God has for you. He has divine protection for you within the house. God wants to give you more personal care and more encouragement for you in the house. He wants you to have a tighter family experience. Man, at one point in time, we had a group that was so tight in the church. When one of them would come down to the altar, the entire group would come down to the altar. They'd surround them, that person, in prayer. When one person went to the hospital, the whole group went to the hospital. I want you to recognize that God wants to put a connection in your life, that you are not by yourself, that when you're struggling deep inside and you don't know what to do, that you can call upon God and God will send one of your friends as the divine connection to pick you up, encourage you, and strengthen you. You need each other. We need each other. We're called the body of Christ. You know, we need a place also. One of the things that I'm excited about as your pastor, and that is, I know that Jesus is coming soon. I'm going to be done here in like 45 seconds. I know that that was on the other side. I know that Jesus is coming so soon. And the sad part is there are many people that are not going to go to heaven. Remember, if you don't confess Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to heaven. It doesn't matter if you're the nicest person on earth. Sincerity does not get you to heaven, only the blood of Christ. Jesus is coming so soon, and I'm so concerned because I'm looking at our region and I'm watching the crime level, and I'm watching the teenagers, and I'm watching the drug addiction rise, and I'm watching all of this. Listen, this does not fall on the threshold of the world. This does not fall on the threshold of the government. This does not fall on the threshold of the school system. That falls on the threshold of the church, and it's time for the church to rise up. It's time for the body to be united. When we touch one thing, it shall be done. It's time for us to get so connected and my life to be so integrated that, man, if somebody needs me, I'm there. God's going to use my gifts and my talents and my capabilities and my finances to do God's will, to kick the devil in the teeth and to take back what the devil's stolen. It's time to recognize you are an integral part of the plan and the purposes and the destiny of this planet called Earth with God. Turn to someone and say, Jesus needs your life. What I'm excited about these groups is that you're going to be able to bring your friends, people that would never come to this church building. They'll never walk in the building. Well, you know, the roof will cave in. But they'll go to somebody's house. You get to invite them to your group. You get to invite them to a group of people you know are cool. They're not square, rectangle. They're not oval. They are cool people, man. They really love God, and they're real people. You get to invite your friends to that group. And all of a sudden, they get in that group, and guess what they realize? These are great people. Christians aren't nuts. Man, they know how to stand. They're strong folk. You see, I want to see these groups start to double and triple. I'm believing the Lord that every one of these groups that we start with, by next year, we'll all split off. And we'll have to double the amount of groups. Right now, we're believing for a minimum of 400 people in groups. That's not even half of our congregation. But I'm believing for 400 people in groups. And then next year, I'm believing there will be 800 people so connected with the body of Christ in every region. Look, if you look in your book, what you're going to find is that they're not just here. They're in Chemung County. They're in Schuyler County. They're in Steuben County. They're in Tioga County. They're in Pennsylvania. They're also going to be up in Ithaca. Man, we're going to create a place for you to make a divine connection with a group of people that you can encourage them. They can encourage you. You can cry together. You can laugh together. You can rejoice together. You can fight together. You can see God's will come to fruition together. I'm so excited with what God is doing. And I pray that you and I will follow the divine blueprint of heaven and say, Father, if you said it works, I know my life will be more fruitful if I simply obey you and do your will. You know, you'll find it's not an extra night out of your every other week, your bye week. You want to know why? Because you're going to look forward to going. You're going to be excited to walk in the door. You're going to be the one bringing the fruitcake. Dear Jesus, don't bring it to my house. Chocolate chip cookies. Hot chocolate chip cookies. With extra chocolate chips. Hot. With some milk. Glory to God. Bring the milk. Bring me a half a dozen. Or drive all the way down, you know, to Scranton and get me some hot Krispy Kremes. Jesus. Yeah, they wouldn't be. But I'll go with you. We'll make a connection together. This is all about you. God has plans for you. This is the great part is God did all of this for you. You know, he could have said, you're saved, but there is no church. You'd be all by yourself. But he said, listen. I want you to fellowship together. I want you to eat together, house to house. I want you to remain steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. I want you to pray together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm going to show you that your life will be fulfilled. You've been looking for your life to be fulfilled. Fulfillment doesn't come from what the world has to offer. True fulfillment comes from Jesus. Blessings can come from the world. He'll use that in your life. But true fulfillment comes inside when we do God's will. Amen? Bow your head to me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest connection you can ever make is Jesus. Listen, I don't have a religion for you to join. I don't have a church for you to join. But I have a family for you to join. God wants you to be part of His family. He loves you so much, He sent His Son, Jesus. And then He's created a family called the Body of Christ. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want Him into your life. You want to accept Him into your heart. You want to start living God's purpose for your life. You want to be forgiven for your sins and you want freedom. Today, that's what Jesus has for you. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you know there's a sin in your life that's holding you back from heaven and you want to be free, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room this morning? Thank you, ladies, very much. You can put your hands right back down. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, young man. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Is there anyone else? Where? Can't see. Please hold it higher so I can see. Oh, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Last call. Listen, this is the powerful part about Jesus. They're getting connected to the King. Their sins will be forgiven. Now we need to connect with them so they have somebody running alongside of them. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for the divine connection. Thank you so much for loving us, that you didn't want to leave us alone, that you gave us each other divine connections on earth. Lord, and today in your name, I thank you for those that raise their hand to declare that they want you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you that as they are brave and step forth, that God, today there'll be brand new people. If you raise your hands with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. I want you to look to the person next to you, and I want you to say, will you go up with me? Or just be brave and step right out of your chair. If you raise your hand for salvation, meet me right here, right now. Don't wait long. Come on. Don't let your brain talk you out of it. Step right up here, right now. Come right on up front. Come on, sir. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. Come on. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You wrote, I love Jesus and I love God. It's because in your heart, isn't it? Amen. I'm very proud of you, dude. I'm proud of you. You know, a lot of times people do this as church membership. This really has nothing to do with church membership. This is about you getting a complete change in your life. And today, God's going to do that. Man can't do that. That's a God thing. So as you pray, you're going to feel shifting in your life. That's God coming in. That's God starting to change you from the inside out. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. There's no reason to go back to the world, man. It's all the way or no way. We're going all the way with Jesus. I'm never going to stop. And I want you to look. You got a whole group. You don't have to, maybe, if you're nervous. You got a whole group of people right here. Watch. This is just one service. There's a whole other group of people even bigger than this in the first service. Now there's a whole group of people in Maine. There's a whole, in Ithaca. There's a whole group of people that they've been where you are. And they want you to know following Jesus all the way is the best answer you'll ever have. So can I pray with you? And then I'm going to have Mindy pray with you. Father, I thank you for each one. Holy Spirit, this is where you do only what you can do. I release the presence of God in a powerful manner. In the name of Jesus. Now, God, when they confess you as Lord, I thank you that shift supernaturally will happen. And they'll never be the same from this day forward. We rebuke the devourer. We command right now that the seed will not fall on bad ground, dry ground, rocky ground, or even weedy ground. But, Lord, it will fall on good ground. That these men and these women will grow to 30, 60, 100-fold and do great and mighty things for your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that they're going to look back in a year and say, I don't even remember who I was. God has changed me so much. So I thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll follow Mindy right over here, she's going to pray with you. Get your Bible. Dude, I'm proud of you. Come on, give him one more hand clap. Don't let heaven outshout you this morning. You remember when you walked up front and gave your heart to the Lord? Just think right now, if every one of you do that this year, just with one person, this church will have 1,000 folks by Christmas, just in this service. Lord, I commission everyone in this room in the name of Jesus. Lord, as you already have, Father, that we'll be fishers of men. That, Lord, we'll be harvesters for your kingdom. We call in souls like we've never called them in before, God. We call in the harvest of all the seed we planted for the years. Lord, those that are watching by television, in Jesus' name, God, we call those seeds in right now. Harvest! Those who have been watching on live stream, harvest! God, even those who receive the tapes, harvest! Those that were at, Lord God, even all the parades and the festivals, Lord, we've been to, harvest! Lord, we declare in Jesus' name the devil can't take one of them. Lord, we're going to reap a harvest this year we've never seen before. Ithaca, harvest! Cornell University, harvest! We declare Ithaca College, harvest! Lord, we declare, oh God, every college to be touched in this region. Elmira College, Corning Community College, Lord, we declare harvest in Jesus' name. In your name we pray, and everybody said, we love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Be a harvester this week. Go after somebody who doesn't know Christ and bring them into the kingdom of God.